Now we're in the Holy Spirit book. We're in chapter 6. You know, that was a Holy Ghost guidance when Mary has had us to study this book. I've learned so many wonderful things from this book that Fuchsia Pickett wrote. This is presenting the Holy Spirit. And he needs to be presented. He guides us into all truth. I've learned more things about life from the Holy Spirit. He helps me to understand the word of God, and see things. Every time I learn from him, he shows you the easiest way to do the hardest things. I want to go back on the first part of chapter 6 again. The seven offices of the Holy Spirit. This is part two, governing the life of believers. Now, the Holy Spirit is here to help us. He knows everything to be known. If we seek, there's no subject we can't ask him about that he can't reveal to us. And he's willing and ready to reveal God to us. And when we, our power, when you think about power, our power is to yield. If we can, anybody that can yield to the Lord, like he had me saying earlier, I just found out that you can always receive his strength and relay it to others. And as I meditated on, you know, on what happened, I said, I can love anybody. When, you know, when I almost got in a fight, and the Lord told me, showed me when he said what he did to strengthen me. And I said, Lord, I want to know more about that. And said, teach me how to love your people. Because I want, my main goal in life was to please God. And when I read about the tithe, how paying 10%, I said, 10%? I don't want to give God 10%. I wanted to give him 90% and live off 10%. But you can't do that starting out. And I wanted to anyway. And, you know, I wanted to please God at the heart. I wanted to do whatever he said.
Yeah,
do.
If you willingly from the heart give that 10%, God's got the rest.
Yeah.
He likes to take care of
her. Yeah. And his family. So I said, I don't know what to do. I said, well, I can at least do what Jesus said. Every time I obeyed what he said do, I learned more than I expected. And I understood more than I expected. So that became a pattern. All right, she said in page 101, she said, believers who choose to yield their lives to the Holy Spirit will soon discover his divine governing power in their life situations. True. I testify that she's telling the truth in this one statement. Every time I obeyed him, I always learned more. She said, God intends for the relationship of the Holy Spirit with believers to go beyond first caring after the life of God, first creating the life of God within them and nurturing it until they become fully developed sons of God. Now, Mary talked about adoption, being grafted into God's family. Even though a child was a biological child, when they matured, then they were treated as a son. They were given inheritance and expectations when they became mature. And the Lord receives us as we are, and he helps us mature. And he loves us from the beginning of the relationship. Our maturity, our abilities is not why he loves us. He loves us. He loves you for you. And sometimes I love God, so I study and I like church attendance. I don't ever like to miss church. And sometimes I'm working and I have to. I don't like it, but I do it. And so I'm in my mind, I'm big on performance. And I said, Lord, what about when people can do it and they don't? I was kind of like the older brother of the prodigal son, you know. They don't read, they don't study. I was being more like him. And the Lord explained something. He said, I don't require dedication. And I felt like Ken's just looked at me. I'm like, what? He said, I don't require dedication. And my mind just
the same person received Jesus and just not walking in yet, I guess, to heaven.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking like that. I'm saying, okay, Lord, wait a minute. You don't require dedication. And he let me think about this for 2 days. I'm just thinking about this. Two whole days. I couldn't deny it. I said, he loves us and he don't require dedication. I'm really like the prodigal son's brother now, you know. and I thought about it. And then he explained something. Because he had my attention. He said, I love you for you. Not your performance, not what you can do for me, not for your works. I love you for you. This was a few years back, you know. That's okay. And then he just spelled it out. He said, I don't require dedication. I desire dedication for your benefit. When we're dedicated, now God can train us. If we're not dedicated, he can't train us. So that means that he can't warn us. His ability to warn us is diminished. And after he warns us, our ability to respond to the warning is diminished. And every day he gives us daily opportunities, golden opportunities. Every day he supplies with golden opportunities. When we're not dedicated, you're not going to see him. You'll walk right past him. Just like a man in the desert, he wanders around the oasis of water and don't know it. Well, people wander around their golden opportunities and don't know it. And the enemy give them thoughts while they're in a weakened state. And the Lord wants to guide them, but they're not dedicated. He's talking to them, but they didn't come to church. When pastors preach or anybody's ministering the word, he's talking to people. And some of the people he's trying to talk to should be there. And they can't hear what he has to say. So when people are not dedicated, it's bad. But God loves them the same. That's what he was showing. Your performance and your blessings and, you know, all the wonderful things that we do, that doesn't stop the love of God. He still loves you for you. And he'll take you as far as you'll let him. But he greatly desires our dedication. And people get offended, you know, like I was. They get offended when people are not dedicated. But you don't have to. When people are not dedicated, they need your help. The strong bear the infirmities of the weak. When you see people are not dedicated like they should be, they need your prayers, they need your support, they need your words, they need your kindness, your love. And because God loves them, their performance has nothing to do with his love. He loves them for them. And so that, it added to what he taught me about love. I said, I want to make sure I love people when they need me to. That's just the way to be. But sometimes people, they know that they slacked or whatever, they weren't dedicated, but love them anyway, generously. And I learned from the Lord, you don't have to require things of people. You can supply them because you're being supplied. Now, once they catch on and they become dedicated, they'll be the one supplying others, you know. We bear fruit after our kind. In order to bear fruit after our kind, we have to bear fruit. So when you're loving people when they need you to, they don't forget it. And when you love much, you know, just like people who who sinned a lot, and God rescued them. Now they love God much because they know they were wrong. Well, when people treat you wrong and you love them anyway, they don't forget it. And one day the enemy gonna do something, and they're gonna need somebody that they can trust in, and it's gonna be you. And that's when the Holy Spirit can minister. Everything in God works together. These are things that's revealed by the Holy Spirit. She said, God intends for the relationship of the Holy Spirit with believers to go beyond first creating the life of God within them and nurturing it until they become fully developed sons of God. The Lord is looking for sincerity. When people respond to his love, now he can do more. It's kind of like praise, what David was saying. You know, God's hand is being generously given to him, there's an open door. When they praise God, now God can do something with them. Everybody should be praising God for all that he's done for us. We can't pay for that. He made us in the first place. We were contrary. He saved us, and he loved us. So when we're praising him, we're yielding. We're humble to him. Now he can do what he wants to do in our life. With God, sometimes people see God like human kings. Kings demand people to do things and they have to do it. And the Lord does too. Because when Jesus comes back, he's going to rule the world with the iron fist. But to his people, he wants us to receive him and say, yes, this is what I want to do. Now they're willing and obedient. You can be obedient and still be unwilling. You can be willing and still be disobedient. But when you're willing and obedient, that's determination. I'm determined to walk in the love of God. Now, once I learn something from him, the only way to keep it is to practice it. And the only way I can... So when I learn something, I try to grab a good hold on it. I ain't letting it go. Sometimes when the Lord teaches me, I'll just rehearse it all day till I got it. Because sometimes I'm busy when he'll come to me and give me a word, but I'm doing something. My attention's on what I'm fixing or what I'm doing at work. And then next thing you know, I forgot it. Wait a minute, Lord, I need that word again. And now I got to believe him. I said, Lord, give me that word back. And then eventually he'll give it back. And this time I got it. And that's what I do. If you saw me in the spirit, that's what I'm rehearsing it in my mind until it's a part of me. And and that's what the Holy Spirit is talking about here. She's helping people understand this. This is something that the Holy Spirit will do. We'll be fully developed sons of God and daughters of God. She said, by his divine power, the Holy Spirit desires to govern our lives so he can fulfill the purposes of God in us individually. And that's important because, remember, every individual is a creation. And because you're a creation, you can do something that everybody else can't. You can receive facts from God that others won't. That sometimes they can't. And I believe that every child of God has the ability to introduce the world to another portion of his truth and knowledge. So when they become dedicated, now they become a candidate for God to be able to give them knowledge. Now, when you minister a word from the Lord, several things happen. You're ministering to people, but it causes people to look at you. And people don't know to focus on God first. They're looking at you. If you say something and it blesses them, they automatically look to you. And whatever you do is good. Whatever you do. However you think, that's righteous in their mind. Because they're looking at you. You blessed them with the word that from God that they couldn't receive any other way. So they eat, they consume everything you say like soup, unless the, until the word is formed in them. So that's why we bear fruit after our kind. Whatever you do is sanctioned. It's good. The good, the bad, everything. So some truths God will, he give it in a way so that people can, he want people to be mature to a, at a certain point, and then he'll release revelation through them. And he taught me that. He, you know, some things have to be in place before certain revelations come. And then it makes me want to really make sure that I'm dedicated. Because what if I minister the word, people get saved, and then I turn lazy? And in that mind, laziness would be okay. And it's not good. So when certain things are in place, more revelation will come. It all, you know, if you think about performance, it can be overwhelming. Make it easy. Always go right back to the overwhelming love of God. With the love of God in you, you want to serve, you want to do, and you want to stand where you want to fight. I've seen a lot of moves of God come to an end because people didn't fight. They didn't fight the good fight. Fighting is an element we need, and I was reminded of that yesterday. I like to, Olivia loved to be on the computer, and she loved to play her games all day, but she needed a break from that, and I take her outside and either let her swim. The water's cooled down, and so swimming's about over with. But anyway, I was going to ride her on the motorcycle. But I didn't ride it enough, and the battery went down. It cranked, but then it cut off and wouldn't crank, so I tried to jump it off. I rolled it down the hill, and I cranked it, and it cut off. And I couldn't get it cranked again. I'm going to have to put another spark plug in it. So I had to push it back home. And it reminded me of when I was a kid. The older guys, when I was much younger, they'd take your minibike and ride it, all the gas out, and you had to push it back home, and that thing's about as heavy as you are. And you had to push it up the hill and then coast down the hill, and push it up the next one, push it through the woods, and when you got home, you was tired. Well, eventually, I got a little older, and I got tired of that, and I started fighting. And when I started fighting, they stopped bothering me about my minibike. Now, we're in a situation where we have to fight Satan. Fighting is a very important element. It's necessary. And one, I remember Pastor said one time that the church has become too gracie. Sometimes you have to fight the good fight of faith. You have to take a stand. You can't let Satan push you around. And just like I started fighting the older guys, and they stopped. You know, they didn't bother me anymore. I took that same tenacity and used it in the kingdom of God when I learned to fight. Say, I was already mad at him for all the things he'd done against me all my life and the problems he caused. And whenever I would minister, I would be bombarded with problems. So I got angry, and I wanted revenge, and that's good. It's good to want revenge, but God said, vengeance is mine. But when it comes to Satan, take your revenge against him. Fight him back, and don't let him win. I can't punch him in the nose because he's a spirit. It wouldn't do no good. I can't shoot him with a gun. I can't hit him with a chain. I can't do all that. But I can obey God. And I'm motivated by the love of God first. And I want vengeance. So the way I get vengeance, I say, Lord, help me to win more souls than I would have. And it works. God honors those prayers. And my mother told me about my brother that died. She fell down an escalator in Lovins in 1960. My brother would have been born in 1960. And he was still born. And he was still born when my daddy was preaching. My mother was at home. He was born at the house, but he was stillborn. And And that was supposed to be a blow to my parents, but it didn't stop them. And I thought about that. That was an attack. And I thought about what Satan put my parents through with that accident. I said, well, Lord, my brother died, and it hurt my parents. I said, I want revenge. I said, help me win all the souls I'm supposed to win and all the souls that my brother should have won. And I was serious. I said, do this for me. I want you to do this. We're going to do this. A few months went by, and the Lord spoke to me. He said, I've given you a louder voice. I said, what are you talking about, Lord? He didn't say the thing. Went to the radio station to take some CDs and pay the bill. And Gary Richardson called me to the back in the office. He showed me a map of Alabama. And he showed me how the range of WJLD. He said, I bought another station north in Jasper, in the range in Jasper. So it bleeds over into Mississippi a little bit. He gave me a louder voice, and my radio bill didn't go up. Since then, since 2008 or 9, whatever that was, and he didn't go up on the radio bill. So God honors prayers.
Amen.
Yeah, He can do. It's your greatest desires is just a prayer away. You are the righteousness of God. You are Jesus on the earth. You are part of His body. When you pray, it's just like Jesus praying. The Holy Spirit never underestimate what He can do in you or through you. He can take your voice around the world. And being an apostle, I said, well, I might have to go to other countries or whatever. But by the internet, I do. And you do too. It's all these broadcasts. I put them on the website and they're worldwide. I don't have a counter on my website. I don't know how many people hit it. But when you look at a regular YouTube video, thousands of people, in a few days, it grows to thousands of people. And the Lord gave me clear instructions about that website. And when it's night here, it's day there, overseas. A lot of people go on there from overseas, and I know it by the Holy Spirit. One Sunday evening, I went on the website. I was just going to listen to one I did a while back. And I hit it always downloads to the computer. And when it downloaded, half of it was missing. And I thought something was wrong with the file. So I went and found the CD, and I redid it again. I erased it and put a new one up there. I thought something was, and I realized so many people are going on there that it slows the processor down at the server, wherever it is, at the web host. People are going on there listening to you. God is using this thing. He's using this tool. It's working. Now, a certain time of day, I can go on there and it'll download right. But when a lot of people are going on there at the same time, it's something, you know, Lord will give you things to help you understand that it's not for nothing. What you put in the Holy Spirit's hands, He'll multiply it like the little boy's lunch. Everything of God, it works. And the wisdom of God, He knows what He needs. That's why I love to yield to Him. By yielding to Him, we can do all things through Him. And that's what she's sharing in these chapters. Different aspects of the Holy Spirit that we need. And he simplifies everything. When you stay in the love of God, you fulfill the law. When you look at Him, you win souls. Jesus even said, if you don't be with me, you scatter. The things that people have put in place that divide it, like the rules and regulations of the Holiness Church, or the traditions of the denominational churches, or any false focus that people gravitate to. But when you look at Him, you'll see things where they are as they are, and you can make the adjustments. in real time. And as we receive strength, God will give us greater revelation. Any comments, questions? All are good. All right, well, it's about out of time. Yeah. The seven off, we'll pick it up in chapter 6 next week. God is moving by His Spirit. I get excited. All right, dear Lord, I thank You for Your word. I thank You for all that You're doing. Help us do all that's in Your heart. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.